In your Bible this morning, we have read together already this 14th chapter of Joshua's record of a faithful generation, and have preached through verse 5. And today, for a rather brief message, I would entertain to your heart the sixth verse only of this chapter, Joshua 14 and verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. The children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to Joshua, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Do you remember? The title of the message this morning, do you remember? On last week, we made a short but certain beginning to the study of this 14th chapter of Joshua's record. That beginning took us up through verse 5 of this chapter. And I had declared my intention to treat of this passage specifically, verse by verse. After that enviable epitaph in verse 5, you remember the scripture record says, As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did. They divided the land. It was after that enviable epithet, verse 5, on which I spoke most freely last week. I told you then that verse 6 begins the record of the testimony of a truly great and godly hero. Caleb. Young men need heroes. Old men need heroes. You children, you should find some heroes to set before your mind, you in your youth, and carry those heroes and emulate those qualities of theirs that make them truly biblically heroes. Here in this chapter is such a man you may choose. A hero indeed. It has been now 45 years since the Holy Spirit of our God, by inspiration, that is, with regards to this record, It has been now 45 years since the Holy Spirit of God in the record has set this man before us. And it was exactly the impact of that pause, if I may call it that, which occupied our first lesson from this chapter in last week's message, you will remember. But now, in verse 6, now it is time to hear him speak again. It's been 45 years since we've heard him speak in the inspired record, and now in verse 6 of chapter 14, it's time to hear him again. And here's what he says. To Joshua he says, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses the man of God concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Now he speaks again. How wisely someone has said, assuredly no Israelite could look without emotion upon the face and form of Caleb, the utterer of the words in this text. His very existence was a memorial of a memorial day. And when he arose and stood before Joshua, and the two engaged in the conversation recorded in this chapter, who could note them without recollecting that out of all the laymen of Israel, they were the only survivors of the generation to which they belonged? Like venerable towers that rear their heads above the buildings which are attached to them, plainly those which plainly bear the marks of more recent construction, these two towers, these two men stood an age above their surroundings, but with strength as unyielding as that of their latest compeers. Time and sickness had leveled their contemporaries with the dust, but they remained. With eye undimmed and natural force abated, God had kept his threat and kept his promise, and now it is time to claim it. Said another butler specifically, here is a study for us in these days of feeble faith and puny deeds. Here is one who wholly follows the Lord, a crowning pillar of faithfulness in the midst of a generation of faithfulness. Here is one who fears neither giants abroad nor the more dreaded opposition of false friends at home. Alone, he faced the infuriated crowd who were even then ready to stone him. Like a weather-beaten oak, as tough and as green as a whole generation ago, he bends not. He bends not before the blast before. This stamp of piety that bears the stress of time with unfailing resilience, this is that only which is to be praised, and this will receive the promises fulfilled. Standing, Butler said, like a green oak, he withers it all. This is a hero. And now, what are we to learn in the remainder of this chapter? from this hero. Much indeed. Much indeed. I give you number one. I give you the source of his success in this great acquisition. I would like to use the phrase secret. I like to say, I give you the secret, since that seems to be the current usage of that word. But the reality is, it's no secret at all. And so I've called it the source. The source of his success in this great acquisition, which we read about in verse 12, where he said, now therefore, give me this mountain. In verse 13, Joshua blessed him and gave him what he asked for. And so I ask and answer the question, what is the source of his success in this great acquisition? And I answer, the source of his success, we read right here in verse 6. It is the memory of a divine voice speaking to him. I read verse 6 again, Joshua. Caleb comes before Joshua, and he says, Joshua, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee. I don't want to rush this morning, because I want to drive this home to our hearts. The secret, the source of his success in his acquisition of this mountain is in nothing but this. The memory of a divine voice speaking to him. A voice whose memory neither the tedium of time wearing in the sands of that wilderness for 40 long years, nor the noise and tumult of nearly ceaseless war for the last 5 years, neither of these things could drown out the memory of that voice. A voice whose very words remained emblazoned on his stalwart mind as clearly on this day as on that day 45 years ago. Stamped on his mind were those words. And he comes in verse 6 before Joshua and he says, Joshua, you know as I know what God said to me that day. Oh, look at verse 9. Here it is. Here's the word, verse 9. Moses swore on that day, saying. He's not interpreting, he's not using his own paraphrase, his own words. And Moses spake on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. And now look. Oh, bless his holy name. Verse 9. And then if you go and look, and I won't take the time this morning But if you'll go back and look at Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24 and read those words, you'll find out that these 45 years later, 40 years in the sand and desert and funeral after funeral after funeral and dying of Israel, entire generation, and then 5 years of unceasing war. After all of that, these 45 years later, he's got the thing down nearly verbatim. Oh, as I said, time can't erase it. War can't tarnish it. It's crystal clear in his mind. You say you seem to be laboring this point, brother. Could you not move on? Oh, no. Oh, no, I am laboring this point. This entire week and last week, I've racked my soul to know how that I may come before you this morning to drive this truth down deep in your souls. Some of you here, my beloved, my own beloved brethren, sisters, some of you here come every Lord's Day and draw from the fountains of grace in the Sabbath services and go out again the next week only to falter and fumble in the same carnal distractions and worldly struggles over and over and over again. And I know it. I know it so. I see it in your faces. I know it so. You go out and you're struggling and you come in and you make your heart clear and you hope to walk right and you go back out and some of you come and renew your commitment each week and shore up your resolve again and again only to go out and dwindle into a fruitless muddle of failure and discouragement and by nightfall on Monday night it's all gone again. Why? Why? Would you please let me help you by answering that question? Why? Why does this happen to us? Oh, I can answer it. I can tell you plainly. Either we've never heard his voice speak to us, I promise, or we've forgotten what he said. Caleb knew. Caleb knew what the Lord had said 45 years later. He had never, in the words of our country preachers in the South, he'd never wobbled on the axle. Verse 9, he remembered, this is what the Lord said to me. I know what he said. Some of you struggle. Your resolve is plastic. And you struggle from one Sabbath to the next Sabbath. So I ask you to look into this matter and answer the question, have you ever heard his voice? And if you have, are you forgetting what he said? Caleb didn't. Oh, listen. Listen to these very telling words. In 1 Kings verse chapter 19. Listen to this. You remember the story? 1 Kings chapter 19. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them, by tomorrow about this time. God's enemies persecuting God's prophet. When he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. And he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. Requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it's enough. Now, Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. As he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. He looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. He did eat and drink and laid him down again. Oh, and listen to verse 7. The angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and spoke to him, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose, and he did eat, and he did drink, and he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Oh, are you hearing me? The angel of the Lord came, and we know who that was, and spoke to him. And in the strength of that word, 40 days and 40 nights. Oh, my beloved friends this morning, I ask you as your pastor, I ask you as a friend, I ask you as a brother in Christ, I ask you to drop all vain pretenses this morning and tell me truly, how long has it been since you heard that voice? How long has it been since you heard that voice? Have you ever heard it? You can't forget it. In the prayer meeting on last week, I shared just on a fluke. I had no intention, purpose, or design. I've been reading John Jasper, a book my son gave me, his testimony, his life, and I read them that old black man's account of his conversion. Standing at that tobacco table in that factory, God lifted his sin off him, gave him salvation. And even as I read the words, I heard him again. I heard him again, and I remember when I heard him the first time. Oh, saint, this morning, this is a voice that creates worlds out of nothing. Genesis 1 and 2. This is the voice that kindles fires in a bush and never burns it. Exodus chapter 30, chapter 3 and verse 2. This is a voice that incinerates whole mountain ranges and causes them to quake in Exodus 19 and verse 18. This is a voice whose power inflicts the cry from the people, where he said in Exodus 19 and 19, speak thou unto us, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. That's the character of this voice. This is a voice whose force is said to be in Psalm 29:3, Ezekiel 43:2, Revelation 1 and 15, in all three of those places. This is a voice that's said to be like many waters. You know, I guess you know. I've never been there, but they say you can't stand beside Niagara Falls. You can scream to the top of your lungs, and the person beside you can't hear you, because of the mighty power of the noise coming from those waters. This is the voice that's called repeatedly in Scripture, the noise, the voice of many waters. This is the voice that has but to speak the word. Just speak a word, and a man is healed from a great way off. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 13. This is a voice that speaks, and the dead are raised from the putrid corruption and rot of the grave in John 11:43. Oh, blessed be God. This is the voice that speaks, and his hand comes in by the hole of the doors, and my very bowels are moved, Solomon 5:4. Oh, I ask you, could you hear this voice and forget it? Oh, Caleb, I call you to testimony, my brother. Could I just ask you, Mr. Caleb, this morning, could you hear this voice and forget about it? Caleb responds in verse 6 of chapter 14. No. I know exactly what he said, and I'm here to get it. Anyway. Some of you, you either never heard it, or you forgot what he said. Caleb says, I know exactly what he said. Somebody made this comment. He said, God has given exceeding great and precious promises, and yet, he must be inquired of in order to deliver them. Caleb had to come and inquire. Joshua, you know what he said. I'm here to get it. He's given exceeding great and precious promises, and yet he will be inquired of to deliver them. Our duty is clear. Listen to me now. I'll help some of you. Our duty is clear. To lay hold of the announcements of his word and ground on them our requests. Surely the reason why multitudes never pray is that they think little of the blessed promises for which they should ask. Are the scriptures, questions this commentator, are the scriptures to be empty volumes or full of life and power? The Bible may be our charter, the will of our Father bequeathing rich portions in this world and the world to come. Our catalog of precious furniture that may be had to adorn the household of the saints. How many things we have never asked for or claimed as our own. Graces to beautify, gifts to enrich forevermore, and all because we have not heard the voice. Oh, we forgot. You hear me this morning? It is not mine to determine the predetermined eternal will of God. It is only mine to hear what he said. To hear what he said. And not forget it. Embrace it. Lay hold of it. I fear that most of us live, at best, a shallow and superficial Christian life, if Christian it may be called, only because we can't remember when he spoke to us. Oh, my dear friend, when did you hear this voice last? Was it last year? 10 years ago? 6 months ago? A month ago? Has it been a week? Has it been a whole week? When did you hear this voice last? Have you ever heard it? It may have been, as we learned from 1 Kings 19, it may have been a great thunder. Or it may have been very still, small voice. But you heard it. And time can't erase it. Joshua receives Caleb. There they stand. And what's on his mind? Something God said 45 years ago. How long can you go without hearing it? I'm not talking about forms. I'm not talking about external conformity. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about hearing God speak to you. Caleb knew well that day when Moses spoke that God had spoken to him and to Joshua. And it comes to him in verse 6, and he said, "Thou knowest the thing. Thou knowest the thing. Thou knowest the thing. Thou knowest the thing." That the Lord said. Well, can I ask you this morning? I hope I'm not offended. Do you remember? Do you remember? You remember when he spoke? Did you ever have that experience? Do you remember when he spoke? Then take it at his word. Then just throw yourself on it. Just believe it. Thou knowest the thing. Thou knowest the thing that the Lord has said. Now, like Caleb, step up and own it. Notice with me the striking typology in this simple text of Scripture, verse 6. Oh, it's such a simple verse, and yet there's such a striking typology here. Can I just give it to you? Listen. Caleb, who is a type of the faithful servant of God, Caleb, who is a type of the faithful servant of God's delight, entreats Joshua, who is that glorious type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Caleb entreats Joshua about a promise made by Moses, that blessed type of Israel's father. So we've got the servant of the Lord entreating Joshua, that type of the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning a promise that was made by Moses, who is a type of Israel's father. Do you get the typology here? Oh, blessed saint, listen to me. Here is the key to mountain climbing. Can I use that term? Here is the key to mountain climbing, verse 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Here is the key to mountain climbing. Come to Joshua and remind him of the Father's promise. Amen. Come to Joshua and remind him of the Father's promise. It really is just that simple. Here's the key to mountain climbing. come to Joshua and remind him what the Father said. Amen. Hallelujah. I promise you that'll never fail. I promise you, my friend, on my soul, I promise you that'll never fail. Hebrews 10:43, let us hold fast, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Here's the key to mountain climbing. Go to Joshua and remind him what the Father said. Amen. Says one commentator, hold God to his promises, exclamation mark, and I didn't put that one in there, he did. Hold God to his promises. There's more presumption, says this commentator. There's more presumption in declaring and neglecting God's promises than in urging their performance. There's more There's more presumption in declining and neglecting God's promises than there is in urging their performance. Did he speak? What did he say? Have you forgotten it? Do you go out of here on the Sabbath day? Do you go away from these meetings on the Sabbath day and allow your mind to be cluttered with the world and carnal activity until you forgot the voice? You forgot what he said. If once you've ever heard this voice, speak a promise. Lay hard your claim on that promise's fulfillment. Oh, my dear saint, go back this morning in your mind and call that voice up again to your memory. Can you close your eyes and hear it? Joshua, Caleb didn't even have to close his eyes. He'd been hearing it every day for 45 years. Some of us can't hold on to it for 45 hours. Go back in your mind, I said, and call that voice up again in your memory. Can you hear? Blakey said, Caleb believed and therefore he was patient. 45 long years had elapsed since Moses, the man of God, speaking in the Spirit of God, had promised him a particular inheritance in the land. It was a long time for faith to live on a promise. But like a tree on the face of a cliff that seems to grow out of a solid rock, it derived nourishment from unseen sources. It was a long time to be looking forward. But Caleb, though he did not receive the fulfillment during all that time, he was persuaded of it and embraced it and believed that at last it would be true, for God had spoken it. I ask you again, as I have already asked you several times, have you heard this voice? Be honest. Cloak not your sins in a shroud of lies and hypocrisy. Have you heard this voice? Have you a Caleb spirit this day? Can you appeal to our heavenly Joshua in these words, thou knowest the things the Lord said? If not, choose today to lay before him with Jacob in Genesis 32 and verse 26. Choose today to lay before him in Jacob's words, I will not let thee go except thou bless me, I will not let thee go until you speak to me. Oh, in that text in Genesis 32, from that very day, according to verse 28, from that very day, Jacob was a prince with God and had the power of God. Hallelujah. What we need in America today, what we need in this church today, what we need in our homes today, what I need in my own heart today, is to hear God speak and to recall when He has spoken and to sue Joshua in His own words. Oh, there's power locked up in that. There's mountains to be owned locked up in that. I give you very quickly the power that was locked up in it for Joshua, and it'll be locked up in it for us, just the verses. There was power to remember. Verse 6, we talked about it. Secondly, there was power to endure. Oh, he goes on, verse 10 and 11. He said, I've been kept alive. I've been kept alive these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word. Ever since the Lord spake this word, I've been kept alive. I wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, and yet I'm still strong. I've been here. I've been here. I've been here. I've had the power to endure because I heard that voice. Thirdly, he had the power to intercede. Verse 12. Now give me this mountain. 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 Oh, that we might get the power again to intercede. Come before God and lay it on Him. Give me this mountain. I fear that most of us, maybe I'm only testifying myself today, I don't know. Many times I don't have the power to make such an intercession. Because unlike Caleb, I can't say I've walked 45 years waiting for this. I've been faithful. But though there's mercy, there's a fountain filled with blood. Drawn from in man and planes. Had power to remember, had power to endure, had power to intercede, and then he had power to persevere. Verse 14, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb. Because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Holy Father, he had the power to persevere. Where'd he get it? Heard that voice. Heard that voice and didn't forget it. Never forgot it. I'm sorry, I've already preached longer than I meant to, but can I just give you one more little nugget from the 6th verse in Joshua's record? One more little nugget from this 6th verse. Caleb came before Joshua. And notice his wording. Thou. I can't imagine. Maybe he was just a different kind of man from me. Most people are. But I couldn't have said what he said without putting my finger right in his face and just pointing right at him. Thou knowest. Thou. We're the only two left walking this earth. And these other people, whatever they may think or believe, Joshua, you know the Lord said. Caleb called on Joshua to testify with him that he had heard it. Caleb called on Joshua to bear testimony with him of what God had said. Let me just drive that home and ask you a question. Are we shy to ask others to remember what we claim God said to us? Will we dare to ask our brother, our sister, to testify what we said back there when we said we heard his voice? Are we shy to ask one another to testify about that? Talking with my wife recently. I sometimes, as you all know, go over to the evening service at 5 o'clock, Brother Brian Calhoun's church. And I'm not endorsing nor forbidding this practice. I'm just relating. Sometimes, just before the message, he'll say, "Is there anybody that'd like to stand up and testify with the Lord? Let's do it for you." And every time I hear that, I think about this thought. Saints testifying to one another what the Lord is doing, what the Lord has done. I don't condemn the practice. I might condemn the procedure, but not the practice. Caleb asked Joshua to testify before all Israel what God had said to him that day. I think it'd be good in our meetings if we just stopped and said, "I want the saints to have the opportunity to stand up. Tell us what the Lord is doing in your life." Would we be shy to do that? Wow. Caleb took two with him. Went to Joshua. And before all the court of Israel, he said, "I want to testify. And I want, Joshua, I want you to testify. Thou knowest what the Lord said to me." Oh, may God help us. May God help us. I'm going to ask you one last time, then I'll close. Have you heard this voice? Do you remember what he said? Do you remember? Caleb did.